Let's create a pivotal impact. Friends in the industry. So before we get started today, I just wanted to quickly touch on the power of relational leadership and highlight the value it brings to the people operating within our industry. So when you consider what is leadership in the workplace, oftentimes people can think, well, maybe it's a boss, and possibly it's a boss that can tell people what to do. Maybe the people will actually do it. So since most of us have a boss in some shape or form and identify maybe as a leader ourselves, let me ask you this. Does your leader lead in such a way that makes you feel included in the journey and empowered along the way, and that what you do brings purpose? Or do they make you feel like you're just doing what you're told and possibly get told, hey, good job, maybe once a year? So I'm Josh Hanabry, the host here at the Truck Focus Podcast. And our mission here is simple. We're connecting transportation industry leaders to the industry to help create a pivotal change. So when I consider the most influential leaders that I've worked for and with, and I try and mirror myself with their leadership traits, I know that they're relational leaders. So that puts a lot of the focus on inclusion and empowerment, creating a sense of purpose, but ultimately it's a sense of belonging in the journey. So I believe that we need to invest more energy in understanding what it looks like to be a relational leader, which honestly leads us to today's interview, as I'm super excited to speak with Cindy Van Beek, StepDeck Operations Manager with Bowline Logistics. So during our conversation, Cindy does an incredible job highlighting the impact she's having as a leader at Bowline Logistics, but also the pride that she has with her team and just as they make it happen each and every day. So I highly recommend that you learn more about Bowline Logistics by visiting bowlinelogistics.com just to see the services that they offer. And again, just connect with really good people. So before we get started in our interview, I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you. So if this is the first time you've ever checked out the Truck Focus Podcast, I really do welcome you to our community, but also to our dedicated community that, again, takes the time to listen, takes the time to really apply the guidance that our leaders on the Truck Focus Podcast bring. Just want to say thank you, too, as you continue to create a pivotal impact in your day-to-day interactions. So I look forward to the impact today's conversation is going to have. Let's get to it. Okay, Cindy, honestly, super excited for today. Welcome to the Truck Focus Podcast. And I'm excited for a couple of reasons. First off, when we had our first conversation, something that became really apparent really fast is that you really care about your people, which I think is awesome, and that you are a true leader, which I also think is awesome, especially when you, in your situation, as our listeners will learn here quickly, you're in an environment where you're literally juggling 9 things, 10 things, 50 things at the same time, and you have to be relational. You have to be able to say, okay, I care for my people. Let's also make sure we're doing the best things for business and really dial that in, and I think you do a really good job at that. So I'm really excited as we navigate that space, as it really does paint the great picture of A, what's possible in industry, but also to highlight your story and just how life is at, or how life is like, sorry, at Bowline Logistics. And yeah, I'm just really grateful that we're on the podcast together. So welcome.
Thank you. Super happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, good. I'm glad. Otherwise, I don't know. I've yet to cry publicly, but I would say fine. Time out, turn it off. It's all good. So to start us off, why don't you kind of give us a rundown a little bit on who is Cindy and just touch on your experience within the transportation industry.
Yes, I started out actually, probably, I guess, 18 or so, give or take. So about 22 years ago, started out in warehouse scheduling for a mattress factory, and we had our in-house fleet. So I tried to make sure that we could build enough and send enough out on our fleet every day. Then went into the, bare bones of trucking, Cantalog Proplate, and we did auditing all the logbooks and permits, IFTA, annuals, stuff like that. So kind of figured out the legalities of trucking right from the get-go, went into trucking after that, AMS Transportation, then worked for Loblaws, Bison, worked for the city and the reefer division, which is where I kind of got a good chunk of my knowledge and the speed of trucking in Loblaws and Bison because I was in, fresh and frozen produce and meat. So dealing with that big, crazy amount of stuff, and came over to Bowline. Started basically then came into Bowline to learn the open deck side of it. So from complete van and reefer van and fast and crazy paced to then open deck and LTL and being able to fit all these new things on there and farm equipment, ag, oversized cranes, permits, where you don't do any of that with van stuff, right? You don't do tarping. So yeah, just really learned every piece of it I could, from office management to the sales to produce and meat specialist, and then now to being the management for the step deck fleet. So it's been a ride.
Wow. That's like 80 years of careers in a 20-ish year time frame. Like that is, so it's funny, a lot of times, and I'm sure when you have conversations with people that aren't as involved in industry, they think trucking is one thing. Oh yeah, I've seen that before. You probably just hit 30 different components, and then there's the subcomponents and sub-subcomponents. Yeah. So that's a, yeah, Bowline's lucky to have you. So huge shout out to obviously Tyler and Miles to say, okay, Cindy, you got this. So that's awesome. Do you have a, do you kind of have a favorite, I guess, sector within industry, long haul, overdimensional? Do you like open deck better than dry van, that kind of thing? Or is it all kind of the same when you're moving commodity to you?
I mean, the biggest thing about trucking and the thing that's kind of kept me in it for as long as it has, and don't get me wrong, I've kind of done things off on the side. I've worked in hospitals. I've done, you know, investments, stuff like that. But trucking has been always the thing that really gets me. And I think one of the biggest reasons for that is because, one, it's always different. There's always a new challenge and always something that kind of pops up that you've never really dealt with before. So there's always that aspect of transportation where you're like, oh, that's new. And you get to learn something new, right? I always tell people when they start in here, you know, just working with new people, and I say transportation, if you're new to it, it's like a clock face. There's 12 different departments of trucking, and every one of them, whether it's permits, customs, sales team, the, you know, all of that stuff, it really is, there's so many different aspects and so many things to learn every day. And so you could really, if you're not good at one thing in trucking, you could pop over to another and probably rock it, you know? And I think one of the biggest things for me in transportation, and one of the things that's always kept me coming back, is because there's always more stuff to learn and it's always changing. It's ever like, you know, now we have e-logs, now permits are done, you know, online instead of having to mail it in or call it in. And there's always something new to learn and something new to do. And there's always new freight to do where you're like, oh, I've never hauled that before. Like, that's pretty cool, you know? And I think that's one of the biggest things that's always kept me here. And it keeps me like on my toes, you know? And I love that about trucking in a whole, I think. Like, it's always something where the, you know, like the other, I think it was a few weeks ago. And, you know, one of my drivers actually sent me a photo because I got him a load and it was a plane. And he was like hauling a plane. So there was a plane on the back of his truck. And he sent me the picture and he was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done. And I was like, yeah, man, like it's stuff like that, that just like, it makes your year, you know, and it's super exciting to make the drivers excited. And then I get to see it. So I'm excited.
Yes. Oh, I just wish you could replicate that attitude in your outlook and literally plug it in to like multiple different carriers, because I think the curiosity, the problem solving mindset, the solution focus, but like you just said, when you can get excited because you know that your drivers are excited, I think that's powerful, because really at the end of the day, like life can be mundane if you were just in a cubicle, type, yeah. Answer call, type. But the fact that you live this culture and you really get all of the multiple components, I think that's huge for sure.
Oh, it's super exciting. And like I said, just seeing like, because all my drivers will send me pictures. I mean, not if it's like, oh, they're doing something we've done 100 times. But like, I still have drivers that send me photos of like a tractor or like this crazy excavator. And they're like, Cindy, look at this. And I'm like, I know, like I saw the dimensions and I was like, how is that going to happen? But it does, you know?
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Pretty rad. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. And this really speaks to kind of how I tried to set the stage for our conversation. So I'm not a liar. That's important to me, because you really do see industry for the value side of industry. And it's just, so those that are listening, hop on YouTube and watch, because like I shake my head in agreement to the point where I get dizzy and I can see Cindy smiling and just, and I'm like, this is the type of energy that we need in industry, because it attracts people, it retains people. Yeah. And you can get excited about, it's like, you moved what today? Like, that's like a horror story that you're telling her in a campfire. Like, it's pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome.
So how, from a relationship standpoint, I don't want to deviate too much from the plan, but from a relationship standpoint, do you find that helps build relationships when you're dealing with, say, new drivers, where you're like, I'm excited for what you're hauling. Like, let's get engaged here. Like, have you seen a positive response?
Oh, totally. And I know a bunch of drivers, like, I mean, they'll call me if something cool comes up. I've had drivers that send me a message because, you know, a few of my drivers actually used to work on farms. So they're, you know, farms through and through, and they'll like, they'll be hauling the tractor that they got to drive around with their dad when they were a kid. So they'll just like, they'll send me all these heart faces and like a picture of it off the internet. And they're like, I can't believe you just got me this John Deere to haul. And I'm like, oh man, like that's what I'm talking about. So I always, it's the same with going to a place. Like I've had a driver, like drivers will send me their bucket list. I'm like, yeah, send me a place that you want to go to. If I know you want to go there, I'll try to make it happen. Like we can always figure it out, right? And then I'll literally have drivers like send me a picture of like their list and then checked off with a smiley face, you know, like, yes, I got to go to the Yukon Territories. Yes, I got to go to like Alabama or Tennessee. And I mean, as weird as it is, but like sometimes the place the guy wants to go to is like, you know, Oregon or whatever. And when they get to see that and they send me photos, like one driver went to Miami and he was like sending me pictures of the beach and like all the crazy stuff. And he was just like, thank you so much. And it's like, oh yeah, you need to reset. Cool. You can reset 2 days, stay down there, like enjoy it, man. You know, like it's pretty awesome to like, to bond with the drivers about that. And then when they do talk to new drivers or when they are talking to drivers and the fact that they're so pumped and they're like, oh yeah, just tell Cindy where you need to go. And like, it always happens. And that's like, I don't know, man, like I pride myself in that. Like my drivers being happy about that stuff, you know, and it's a hard job for them because I mean, obviously they're living in a truck. They don't see their families or their friends for like weeks at a time. Like some of our guys sit in the truck for, you know, 6 weeks at a time. And to be able to do that, like, man, if I can bring them that little bit of joy and take them somewhere that they've never been, like, you bet your bottom, I'm going to be doing the best I can to get them there, you know, like every time. So
yes, that's kinda,
it does. It does help with bonding too. And also because obviously I don't get to see all these places and it'd be cool. So they send me photos and that's kind of the trade-off is like, I'm going to send you there, but you have to send me pictures of that, you know?
Yes. Feed your memory bank at the same time for sure.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I think that puts a different spice on the long haul because I think a lot of times there's just in social media and random publicity, there's a lot of negativity there. But yeah, you're bringing it to life and you're saying, okay, you let me know and I'll make it happen or I'll work with you so that way. And I think that's really powerful for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And like I said, happy, like when they're happy and they're like sending you those photos, like, you know, they're super into it too. And you never have to be like, oh, I wonder if they like this job or I wonder if they're like sad to be on the road. It's like, you can tell that they're pumped, you know, yes. Like you can really see that and it comes through. Like all of a sudden I just get a picture of like, you know, a sunset in Texas or like a sunrise in New Brunswick or, hey, Cindy, I know you haven't been here, but I'm on the ferry right now going over to the Rock. Like, here you go, you know? And it's just like, man, like that's, it's awesome. It's like, I'm a thought for them, you know, like that's cool.
Yeah. That's honest. So when I reflect on my experience with professional drivers when I was still operating, it's a very unusual relationship too, because normally there's this weird hierarchy between, say, dispatch operations management to drivers. And yeah, it's normally like awkward, where it's nice to see you've leveled the playing field to say, no, no, I respect you. I value you. Let's make this happen. I think that's really powerful.
Well, and that's kind of something I've learned in where I've kind of been, you know, with driver safety, making sure that they feel safe and making sure that they know how important they are, because not only one, are they the face of the company, but two, they are like, I mean, on the road, I'm the person they talk to and I want them to be comfortable to be able to tell me anything. If they're having family problems, if they need to get home and why they need to get home. And like, even if it's terrible, man, I know that if my drivers are telling me, hey, I'm having a family emergency and they're comfortable to tell me that, then that awkward hierarchy that you just mentioned, it's not there. Like they see me as an equal, like one of them. And I think that's one of the biggest things, because when my drivers call me, I'm there. Doesn't matter. The only time I don't pick it up is if it's between my sleeping times and that's like 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. They know I'm going to be sleeping, but any other time they are welcome to call me and I will always pick up that phone and they know that. And it's actually something like I hear them talk to other people about and they're like, oh yeah, like Cindy's great. She's always there. She picks up that phone no matter what. And I'm like, yes, that is how I want to be known. Because the one thing I don't like is in a lot of companies, you do see that. You see that drivers against dispatch. And I hate that, because that is like, we're a team. And yes, like, you know, I get them the loads and stuff, but they are the face of the company. If they're not happy with me, like, what does that show to a client, to a customer, to, you know, the shipper or, you know, the shipping and receiving? Like, I want them to be just as happy with me. So, I mean, when I get good feedback, I always send it to them. When I, you know, if I've heard something great, I always tell them like, dude, you're awesome. Like, you've been doing a great job. and always try to make sure that they know how much I appreciate them. Because yeah, like, you know, when they come through town, they come through, I take them out for lunch, dinner, whatever, like even just come through the office and we'll grab you a coffee, do whatever and chat for a bit. I don't like that old school drivers against dispatch. It just, it hurts me. And like, it would never work in an office. Like, how does that work when you're, you know, like, I mean, they're in a portable office, but same thing. I don't like it. So I do try to banish that. That's not a thing here. So yeah.
It's amazing. We need more of that. And I'm just, man, I'm Jack. This is good. So can you walk us through? So obviously you're at Bowline Logistics and I have a ton of respect for your team. So I'm excited to kind of navigate this space. So when you're obviously at the office right now, for those that can see, but what is a day in the life of Cindy in the office? You mentioned minus your sleeping hours, you're going to pick up the phone, which I also think is huge. But what is, what does a day look like? What are some of your responsibilities, just so we can kind of paint that picture?
Yeah, so pretty much I am up about 4:30. I do have a lot of drivers that go into the east in different time zones. So I try to be available to all those guys. You know, usually they're starting up. None of my guys drive a night shift because most of the places that we haul to and from are like daylight hours, because obviously it's big machinery, it's equipment. They need cranes, they need to drive on and off. So we're not doing that in the dark. So that's awesome. I don't have any night shift drivers, which is great. So, because I feel like if I had night shift drivers, I would worry about them at night. And then I would stay up like, oh, what if they break down? What if something happens? So typically all my guys are daytime. They do about the same hours as I do. They start early in the morning. They end, you know, earlier in the night, about 10 o'clock. So usually if something happens, it's in the time frame that I am awake. And that's awesome. I do have one team. They do drive at night, but they're pretty, it's a pretty good setup. And they're really, really good. So I haven't had too many issues with worrying about them at nighttime. So that's been really good. But yeah, typically in a day, I'll start at about 4:30-ish. Come into the office. I do basically look where all the trucks are. Are they on time? Are they on schedule? Update all the customers and clients. Cause typically with me, like we do have a sales team here at Bowline, but I also do get a lot of the trucks loads. So I try to fill all the trucks. I have probably about 18 to 20 now on my fleet. So I come in, I update the clients with where the trucks are, when their deliveries are, make sure all the guys are on schedule, clean up emails, push things through to invoicing when it's ready to go. And then just start looking to book freight. Who's my next guy available? Send out a list to the sales team of what I have available so that they can always know to fill. Like, we always want to try to fill as much as we can from the sales side on our assets. We do have a brokerage side as well, but I mean, the assets are always available and I always try to get them to the loads if we can. We try to, you know, all of our direct customers, we always try to get on Bowline assets as well, just so that they see that Bowline, you know, that our Bowline truck, and that's the truck that's coming on. So we want those Bowline trucks to be as many places as possible. And especially when it does come to direct customers. I'll update the customers. I'll see, you know, what loads I can get bringing in, and then order entry, dispatch. Like I said, making sure PODs are all on point in the orders, and then pushing it through to the invoicing team. I also help with collections if need be, and obviously driver HR. So all the drivers, if it's time for vacation, they call me, I book it into my little calendar for all my guys. Look at what their next availability is, try to figure out with them if they'll make loads on time while I'm booking them, and talking to my drivers all day if that's what needs to be done. So, I mean, typically if I don't hear from the guys, it means they're on time and everything is good. Sometimes they just want to call and chat, and that's okay too. So always try to
house. that's so good. I just love it. I love the, so passion is really noticeable. Like, you're passionate, and it's nice because you get it too, right? It's hard to be passionate when you feel kind of oblivious or clueless and you're like, what the is it? But it's nice. You got a game plan, you're running with it, so you can be passionate and confident. So we talked a little bit about relationships, obviously, with your professional driving team. How do you bridge relationships with clients, with brokers, with your sales team, which I've had wonderful relationships with sales departments most of my career, but how do you find just navigating different personalities? Obviously, you're North America wide, so people in Texas may treat people differently than they do, say, in Calgary, but how do you find, putting in the effort there?
I've always been pretty much in customer service as well. And I know definitely working as a, as a produce and protein specialist. I mean, I had to deal with some big, big companies, you know, their sales teams. So I've dealt with a little bit of everybody and all around. I mean, even, you know, for part of my produce, I dealt with a lot of the Mexico produce and stuff. So, I mean, I've dealt with people all around, you know, globally. And, you know, we do a lot of containers coming in from ships and stuff. So you're dealing with a lot of people just all over the place, all over the world. And I, you know what, honestly, like I try to show as much respect as humanly possible, always try to give people white glove service and go above and beyond, because that's what Bowline really is trying to do. And that's what we're trying to achieve, is to be memorable for the best things possible. And that's for having a different level of drivers, vibrating on a different level when it comes to sales and how we present ourselves. You know, we always want to be proud of that. Like our drivers always make sure that their trucks are shiny and clean. We should always make sure that we're treating everybody that deals with Bowline with optimal respect. And that's, I mean, I don't ever let an email, I kind of have a rule with me and my team and the dispatch junior and stuff. We respond to emails within 15 minutes. If it's any longer than that, it's too long. I don't like that. I think it's disrespectful. And at least to say, hey, I got this. I've acknowledged it. I'm looking into it for you. Looking at where the truck is, just waiting on a response from the driver. You know, even just a simple, hey, the driver's just in sleeper berth. I'll confirm as soon as he's up. And, you know, just acknowledging an email, I think makes a world of difference in this industry, where a lot of people don't respond at all, whether, you know, maybe in a couple hours, maybe in a day, maybe in 2 days, you'll get a response, or maybe not at all. And that's not how Bowline wants to be known. And I know that's not who like Tyler would want to be like working in the company too, you know? So I always try, like he's always fast to respond. And I really try to mimic that as well. And I always have in every customer service job I've ever been in. So, and I think that's really helped me in this industry, because it does put us in a different light. Like, you know, a lot of people are like, wow, I've never gotten a response so fast. And you're like, yes, I win. You know, like that's what I want to be. Like, that's the person I want to be known as, you know? So yeah, I mean, it might not always be good news. Maybe it's a breakdown, but hey, at least they know, and we're over communicating. Right. Yeah. So,
yeah, no, I think that's powerful. And so you hit a couple of things. So that 15 minute mark, it's, I like the expression, you have one opportunity, you get one chance to make a good first impression. So if it's your first engagement with that client, they're going to be like, say what? And you mentioned over communication. And I don't think from a, so paint the picture of a construction site, you're bringing an excavator from say Alberta to, we'll just use Texas because it's big. Mm-hmm. No one would ever say, stop letting me know ETAs. Mm-hmm. If you're letting people know, FYI, this is what's happening. This is where we're. So the fact that you mentioned that, you hit it so perfectly. And again, when leaders, so yourself, Tyler, obviously is the owner, different people within the organization really value communication. Yeah. And it really does, it changes the narrative. People don't question your intentions because you're telling them this is what's up. And yeah, trust is a big part of it. You're hauling $1 million piece of equipment. People want to trust what you're doing. So yeah, you're really setting that stage. And when I love the Bowline brand, and I like the fact that your guys' combinations are so different, but when people are like, no, I want a Bowline truck to show up to site, I want a Bowline professional driver to be here, engage with my team. And again, if you guys had a really bad interaction every time in the office, it shifts the persona when your guys' boots are on the ground. So yeah, you're doing a really good job in that space for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So, appreciate
it's always
that.
Good to hear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's interesting when I think care and just personal pride is a big part of it. When, like, you do have to care. And, like I said before, when you can be passionate about something because you know it's the right thing to do, it's just winning. That's what winning looks like. So, it's really good to see. And I do know, so we'll shift a little bit. So, Bowline, like they call it 2.0. So, I know you were at Bowline 1.0. How you speak of the organization, honestly, to me, it gets me jacked. Like for those that can't see, I am fist pumping because I get really excited when people are really excited. Like I think it's just a really good space to be in. So what are some of the, I guess, noticeable positives that you see in Bowline 2.0? Is it just you're in a position where, you know what, I can run with this, I can rock and roll, I can build relationships? Or what are you really seeing just, yeah, in the, I guess, the 2.0 version?
Yeah, I think just a different level of drivers, I think. We do have a team that is super tight-knit, and it really is like family. Like the guys will stop in whenever they can. They always come in and say hi. They always want to hang out or call or whatever. And I feel like that is a huge difference. And I feel like the way we kind of do things is just super optimistic, very like we overly communicate with everybody in the team as well as, you know, customers and stuff, which is a huge plus, I think. And it's super positive environment. And I think really what the difference is now there's just more knowledge, more training, more, you know, efficiency, and just kind of getting the right people in place. And I think that it just takes time and, you know, and the right people coming along. And I think this time we've nailed it. Like that's, you know, it is what it is, because we are all a family. And I think all of us really feel that and see it. So I think that makes the whole difference in the world, just as far as it goes to like respect and how people view us and how like just the light that we give out too, right? It makes a huge difference to that beacon. So I do feel like the difference has just been just this is the right time and you can feel it, you know?
Huge. Those are some of my favorite words. So every time someone lives in that space and they can speak highly of the organization they're with, but also the people that they're surrounded by, totally. I think is so powerful because, so a couple things, again, I can get quite poetic. So if you've never, I know this is our first podcast interview, but that's, I tease myself sometimes because I'm like, man, so you're light in the dark place. Oftentimes our industry is so full of, and someone can say a good thing and you got 9 people telling you, well, this is bad. So seeing that you're surrounded with people that actually see the positives and the light will shine bright. And I think that's really important, again, because your guys' area is so big. Like North America is a huge geographical location. So the fact that there's pride there, and I know some of your driving force, same thing. They are proud to work at Bowline. They're proud to work as a team. And I think that's really key as we're shifting in industry. We're accepting new technologies. You can't do it with a sour face. You have to do it with optimism. Yeah. So what you're doing and how you're leading, I think, is really important. And the something that's nice too. So anytime, so yourself, I'll use yourself, your journey as the example. So in order to navigate, sometimes it's blindly, we're going to try and bump through stuff, but a lot of times it's no, this is what I want to try. So it's called a goal. I want to do this. That's a goal. I'm going to do this. This is a goal. So when you're reflecting on, again, your experience with Bowline, how are they as an organization with supporting your growth, supporting goals, giving you new challenges? How do you find that whole part of your journey?
Oh man, it's been amazing. You know, the journey has been a journey for sure. It's not only are they, I mean, Tyler has always been such a great, great light for that, where he's like, hey, if you need, like, as a mentor and just as a friend. And I can honestly say, you know, Tyler is, you know, he's a friend. He's not just a boss. He's not just the owner, but he is a friend to me. And being mentored and taught, I mean, he was there when I first came in, never doing any open deck. And now I thrive on LTL, which most people are like, oh, keep it. And I'm like, what? That's the best. Because I get excited because he gets excited about stuff like that, right? And it's like adding, you know, a couple grand here and a couple grand here, and the driver's like, oh my goodness, like this truckload is worth like 18 grand, for example. And you're just like, I know, it's the best. But you know, just doing stuff like that and having that space where, you know, it's like, you know, obviously when you first get into it, yeah, you make mistakes. Like what's, you know, dollars per mile for a truck, and you know, you don't know what do you need to make LTL. So yeah, mistakes are made, but thankfully I had that grace. Like I had the grace to learn, and he is probably one of the best teachers because he is very hands-on and this is how we do it, and sit right here and you're going to listen to me be on the phone, and you can just sponge, you know, like you sponge that knowledge and just everything he does and at the pace he does it, because Tyler moves fast. Like he is a fast man. And we always joke because him and I are like, everybody's like, you guys are like related, your brother and sister, because we both just like, oh, we got to do this. It's got to go fast. And, you know, it's like you're speeding around. And that's kind of how me and Tyler like function. And it's awesome because he's one of those people where he's like, if you need to take courses, if you need to, you know, get those self-help books or like get bigger, get better, like learn more, be in management. Like, it's not just maybe one day you'll get there. It's like, no, like this is the goal. This is where we are. And this is where you need to be. Let's go. And whatever means necessary to get there. And he puts it in such a way where it's just like challenge accepted, you know, like I can be this big person. And I know for me, I've been in transportation long enough where one of my biggest goals was to be a manager. And that's like, I love growing people and I love watching them grow. And I think one of the biggest things for me is teaching people from like start to finish something I love, which is transportation. Like, man, there's so many aspects of it where you're like, and once you get it, you're like, yes, like this is all of the back works of transportation, like the customs, the permits, getting the truck from A to B is not just a machine. You know, there's all these little factors that go into that. And it really is a beautiful thing to watch somebody see all of those aspects and to know that he trusts me to be the person that's going to teach people that is huge. And because he always is like, oh man, like that person's doing great. You did a great job. Like, take that person under your wing. It's great. And that he trusts me to do that with people, you know, trusting me with that piece of his company and with his fleet. I mean, the Step Deck fleet is massive. It's grown, you know, since I started here a year and a half ago, since I started back at 2.0 about a year and a half ago now, it's watching the fleet grow almost three times the size, and he's trusting me with that and to get bigger and better. And I think just to know that is, man, it like, it gets you in the heartstrings. Like, I'm like, that's a huge thing for me. And I can't let him down, you know, like, yeah. I can't let him down.
Yes.
So I always have to be better. And I always take that challenge. So to know that he wants me to be as big as I can be, and that's not a scary thing, is huge. Cause that's like, that's my goal now, you know, like to be, and like my fleet knows it. They're like, oh yeah, Cindy's like, that's it. Like, it's happening. She's just, she's going to grow and that's it. And I want everybody to just do that with me. So it's awesome.
So powerful. Oh, that's so good. That's so powerful. Yeah. When you're in an environment where your leader says, no, you grow, try and outgrow me, yes. I challenge you. I think, well, it speaks to his humility. And I think Tyler's a phenomenal guy. So when it's nice to hear people that are employees of the level of respect, I think that's something that really needs to be said. But when you're in an environment where you're challenged to grow and you're asked, okay, well, what? Well, I want to lead people. Okay, go lead that person. Oh, they're doing a great job. That validation. And then, yeah, the endorphin boost. And you're just like, yeah, you're right. What else can I do?
What else am I capable of doing, man? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that there's no ceiling to that. And I think that's the biggest thing, because a lot of companies, like, you do hit that ceiling, you know, they're just like, oh, like, you're doing really good there. And I think you need to just sit there. And it's like, but I'm capable of so much more, you know, like, I've done so much more. Like, let me show you what I can do. And they're like, no, just sit down and just keep doing what you're good at. But it's like, but I can be good at more, you know, like, and that's the beautiful thing I think about Bowline, is because Bowline does encourage that. It's just like, oh, what do you want? You want to try that? All right, let's do that. Like, let's go. And you're just like, man, like, to have that opportunity is massive, because in so many companies you don't, like, you're literally just in this box, and that's where you're going to sit for 10 to 20 years, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I was just picturing a box as you did that, because far too often that's what people want to leave companies. Like, people are like, I talked to enough owners where they're like, I don't know what to do to keep my people. And I'm like, what are you doing to empower your people, to uplift your people, to allow them to fail forward? It's like,
yep.
If you really care about your people, which again, this is a very clear demonstration of, absolutely, you're in it to win it. You have to give those 100%. Parameters. So yeah, I think that's powerful. And one of my questions, which I'm going to ask because I want to ask, but I already know your answer, is, would you recommend other people obviously join the team as your team continues to grow?
Man, all day, every day. Like, this is one of the, but that's the thing, is you can't be faint of heart, because I mean, transportation, we all know that it's ebbs and flows and ups and downs. And I mean, transportation always will be, you know, feast or famine, right? And I think one of the biggest things with transportation is it's not for the weak, and it's not for the faint of heart, because it does do that. It gives you a little bit of heart attacks when you're like, oh, the load board's empty. You're like, oh man, there's no tractors moving. But you know that it's summertime and they were moving in spring. So it is, you have to keep up a pace, and you have to be ready for those ups and downs, right? And I take it personally, because I'm like, oh man, it's just not as busy as it was like last month. But then all of a sudden it's ripping busy again. And you know, you're like, oh, I didn't lose it. You know, I still got it, but it's just, it's the industry. And that's really the thing, is Bowline moves quickly. We always have, we always will. We are always, you know, trying to stay one step ahead and fit that last piece of LTL and Tetris it on and figure it out. And you know, what can we have on our trailer to get the next load? Whether it's all the guys have tarps or load bunks, or what equipment do we need, like wheel jockeys or whatever, you know? And it's just, you always need to make sure that you have that equipment and you're that step above. And that's what we kind of demand from the employees as well. And I don't think demand is the right word maybe, but you know, we do hope that people realize the quickness and the pace that Bowline does run at. But I would tell people, for a challenge, like this job has been one of the best jobs. And I say it, like, if you've ever watched the movie Fury, I always say it. I'm like, hurrah, this is the best job I've ever had. You know, like, this is it, like, best job I ever had. And it is for sure, because it is mentally challenging. It is, you have to stay on your toes. It's quick, and you have to really think of solutions and move quickly and move fast and be there and support your team. And you do a little bit of everything. And I love that, because I love learning a little bit of everything, as you've probably gotten to know. I do love knowing a little bit of everything, so I can kind of be a little bit of everywhere and honestly think outside the box, because that's what transportation is nowadays. It's like, how do we move this? It's this big thing, this big monster. How do we make it happen?
Yeah, agreed.
So we just have to figure it out, right?
Yeah. When you're able to be a hybrid within industry, and you can talk a lot of talks while walking the walk, I think that really speaks to this, the level of success you can reach too, because 100%. When you can talk weight, you can talk cargo securement, you can talk personality, culture, border crossing, people are like what? Yeah. Right. Cause it's, again, lots of people, like I was in a conversation the other day and I called it the ostrich effect, where it's just like, you're going to ask someone about this, but it's not in their scope, head in the dirt. Yeah. And you're like, well, we still have a conversation about it. Like, I'm sure there's some like common grounds here. So, but again, seeing you in that space, seeing how passionate you are in that space, it's just really encouraging. And I know from our listener base too, and just the community at our podcast, like, we need more of this. We need people to be jacked in what they're doing and saying, no, we're impacting people. We're impacting society. Like, let's just keep it going. So yeah, I think that's really powerful. So juggling all these things, life is crazy. What's your perspective, and how do you lead to encourage people to operate safely? That's a big thing in our industry.
Safety is a big thing in the industry. So one, I always make sure that my guys are okay. So I always, me and Tyler have always done a thing where we really try to check in on the drivers always. How are you feeling? How are you doing? You know, if it's a stressful load, checking in on them constantly. How is that going for you? How's it going now? You know, do you need anything? I have a few drivers, my senior drivers, and I always try to team them up with new people, just if they ever need help, if they ever need an ear. And, you know, not something that I've never been in a truck. So for me, I've done a lot of the courses, like I've done my logbook course and I've done WMIS and I've done all that stuff. But I mean, it's a lot different when you're in a truck tying something down or tarping something. So a lot of the guys are like, oh, does this look right? And I'm like, I don't know. Does it? Like, I guess. Yeah. So I always want the guys to feel as safe and comfortable as possible, and to know that this is a safe zone. Like, no question is a stupid question. If you need to ask somebody something, just let me know and I'll team you up with the right person. I never expect my guys to drive late at night. I will never ask them to pull all-nighters. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong, I know some permits are night travel only, but that's something that we discuss with the driver before giving them that load. So we always make sure that they're comfortable with that, that they feel safe with that, as well as with weather. I am a firm believer, and a big thing with a few of the companies I've worked at is, you know, to make that decision as a driver. Do you feel safe right now? And can you keep going? No, then I'm going to answer to that. So whether I need to answer to the customer, I am far more willing to say my driver is in an ice bank. He is not moving. And yes, your load is going to be late and we will figure that out. But I'm going to fight for my driver on that one. I'm not going to fight for the load, excuse me, being on time. I'm going to fight for the safety of my driver, because that guy is my guy. I've worked in companies where drivers have unfortunately not made it through that icy bank. And I don't want that to ever be on my shoulders. So when it comes to my drivers, they know that. Do you feel safe? Do you not feel safe? You call me right away. You let me know and I will fight that for you. That's a fight that I'm willing to fight for my guys. And they all know that. I tell them that. If they're tired, if they need to go home, if they need me to bring them out a sandwich because they're somewhere in the middle of nowhere and they can't get into any kind of a food place, I will make that happen. These guys are my family. And if they don't feel safe or if they feel like something isn't right, I want them to know that they can always tell me that problem and we'll solve it together. Like, we're going to figure it out. So any time for my guys, yeah, like for safety, you know, we do e-logs. Can't do anything with e-logs, obviously. That's never a thing now where they have two logbooks like they used to in the, you know, early 2000s and 90s. When I first started in this in the early 2000s, that was a thing where I was like, oh, I don't care how you get there. You're going to get there, you know, like, and drivers would hand in three logbooks and you'd be like, which one do I use? Like, which one's the legal one? And that was just the normal. And I don't think that's ever, it never should have been acceptable, you know, and a lot of dispatchers demanded it. Like, they were like, I don't care how you get there, you're getting there. And it's like, no, like, I'm so glad that our time has progressed into the safety of drivers and the safety of the people on the road around them, you know? So I always say, if my drivers are tired, stop that hour early, you know, like but just communicate with me so that I can communicate with the customer that you're going to be an hour late. And that's kind of the trade-off, is I'm all for safety and them feeling the way they need to feel, but just communicate it with me so that I can let everybody know on the other end, right?
Super. So yeah. Good. Yeah, I remember the first time I was in an environment with forced dispatch, and I'm like, no, wait, like that just creepy, like rip my guts feeling where I was getting pressured to force dispatch. I'm like, will not happen. And I have a sales guy screaming at me. I'm like, will not happen. Like, there is absolutely no. So yeah, when you just know that, unfortunately, those examples existed. I agree. I think e-logs is part of the cure. And yep. I think more and more people need to be associated with carriers, people like yourselves, Tyler, the team at Bowline, where it's like, you can still do a hell of a job. You can do it legally.
Totally.
So I think that's really important. And I'm glad you hit that, because again, there's a lot of I just know our community, and there's a lot of different roles where I think sometimes they feel it's okay, it's justified. Oh, it's a big customer. It's like, doesn't matter. No load's worth a life. And exact ever. And the fact that we've both been through very unfortunate situations where someone didn't make it home, it's like, no, not worth it. It'll never be worth it. And yeah, if a customer wants to jump up and down over it, again, there's other people that'll have that fight for you. It's not on the driver. So I respect that a lot.
One of the best things I ever heard, and it was the transportation manager at Loblaws. And I remember one day I was just ripping out my hair and freaking out. It was the middle of winter and terrible. And he like looked at me and he was like, Cindy, it's just lettuce. Like, it's just lettuce. People aren't going to die. You know, like, it's just lettuce. And I remember how much that sunk into me, because at the time I was thinking, oh man, like, this food trailer is going to go bad or whatever. But then I was like, there's another trailer. It's not worth somebody, like, it's not worth the panic. And it's not worth stressing out the drivers just before they have to go on the road, and especially not in a storm or, you know, an icy, horrible blizzard. And it's just, it's one of those things where it really put into perspective for me. And that's kind of where the 22 years of transportation I've done, all of those things combined have made me really put into perspective that nothing, and it doesn't matter what that freight is, if it gets there on time and it's safe, that is the most important thing. Now, it's not so much the on time, but the safe. So if it's going to be a little bit late, but it went through a blizzard and that driver and that equipment is now safe, then I'm willing to, like I said, I'm willing to fight for that, you know? And if somebody doesn't understand that on the other end, it kind of makes me question like who they are as a person. So I'm just like, well, at least my guy is safe. And that's, you know, you can yell at me all you want. So,
you're still sleeping good at night though.
Yeah, I'm okay. I feel fine with that decision, you know, and I know Tyler would too. I know Tyler would back me up for that. So
huge part. Such good leadership. Really admire that. When you're working with if it's new recruits, new professional drivers, maybe new operational staff, do you kind of have I wouldn't say a list, there's like an itemized list, but kind of a thought process that you say, hey, welcome to the team. And this is how you start onboarding them. So that way they kind of have the right headspace. Do you have anything like that that you would normally do?
Totally. So before a driver even gets hired fully, I mean, they meet with Tyler, they'll chat with Tyler a bit. He pushes them through to our office. And then I usually do a dispatch interview with them. So I kind of talk to them to see if we're going to get along as dispatch and driver. It's funny because a lot of older drivers that do have that issue with dispatch that talk down to me or, you know, talk to me like I don't know what I'm talking about or that I'm just going to, you know, treat them badly right off the bat. Usually don't go very far just because that's not how we work and that's not how we want to work. And I definitely don't want somebody coming in that hates me right off the get-go because I'm a dispatcher. So typically then I'll do the interview with them. We'll just chat. How's their home life? How often they want to be home? How often they want to be on the road? Kind of what they're comfortable doing. Self-loading, are they comfortable with, you know, ag equipment and driving tractors and stuff? Because a lot of our drivers do self-load all those things. So they'll drive it onto the decks themselves. And then how much they know about securement and tarping and that kind of piece. And then we have a conversation and then I'm like, yeah, they're going to be great. And sometimes I've taken risks on people where they've literally haven't worked at any other trucking companies, but they worked in a farm and drove their tractor on their trailer and drove it from farm to farm. And I'm like, yeah, that's perfect. That's what we need here. Like that, if you can do that, then I mean, you're halfway there. Right. And then it's just the little things like, you know, uploading PODs and making sure that all your paperwork is right. And really all that stuff can be taught. So if they're willing to learn that for me, then I'm willing to take a chance on them. Right. So I think that is a big piece. And then we kind of go over. So after that, then we kind of put them through all the courses and the safety stuff and whatever. And then I always send out the welcome emails and just the process of what I like to see done as far as it goes for our dispatching system, for filling out the times in and out, for communication with myself, and what I expect paperwork wise too, right? Like we don't need blurry with fingers in it and stuff like that. We just need a good clear picture with tiny scanner or whatever. And, you know, just the expectation on my end and how important communication is, because that is a big thing that most drivers are like, I don't talk to my dispatch. I just do it and whatever, you know, they just can watch me on their little tracking device. And I'm like, no, like if you're going to be late, you need to tell me. Now, if everything is fine and you're on time, then by all means, if you don't want to talk to me, then that's okay too. But most of the guys now, they're just like, oh yeah, I just called to say hi. And I'm like, okay, that's great. You're not late or anything. I'm like, okay, then we're good. So they'll get there. And I think one of the biggest things is, yeah, I always try to send out emails and always try to introduce myself, always try to talk to them a bit. And if they're a newer driver, I try to check in at least every day and just say, hey, how's it going today? Like everything went well, everything loaded okay. You know, your trailer was fully stocked. How is everything going? You know, and I always try to do that little touch point just so that they know that I'm always there for them. So, yeah.
It's awesome. So good to see. Yeah, I think communication is really a key part of your guys' culture for success. And yeah, being the new guy or the new gal, it's super intimidating. I don't care how much experience you have, you're still sweating bullets. Am I doing this right? Is this the right fuel card? Is this what I'm supposed to? So when you have an open door policy saying, hey, you have questions, ask, but I'm also going to contact you. I think it's not, oh, you're here, great, forget about you. It's no, we're going to build this relationship to, again, to the extent that it will go. But I think that's really powerful. It's really good leadership.
Huge. It's, and just for them to know, like, yeah, you can totally call me for anything. Like, you just need to vent about a traffic jam. That's okay. Like, I'll listen to you. We'll chat through it and then you'll be through it and it'll be fine. Right. Yeah. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's a really good point, because when they're venting, we all vent. We all have to clear our heads. And more often than not, that might be the trigger, but that's not the source. So when you can actually get someone to openly tell you what's going on, it actually was something that happened 2 weeks ago that they just haven't actually processed yet. Then they're like, I don't know why I feel oddly better. It's like, well, that's probably because you just left like 50 emotional pounds of baggage off of your shoulders. But yeah, I think that's a really good skill set. But it's also, again, it just goes right to the point. You care about the person, which I think is really 100%. Valuable.
Yeah. And the biggest thing is they're alone in a truck. So like they don't vent, they don't get to vent often, you know, like nobody's there with them. So who are they going to vent to if it's one of those things where I'm always just like, me, just give me a call. Let me hear it. Like have at her, you know, like you can tell me about this dog that ran out into the street and gave you a heart attack. You know, it's definitely one of those things where at least then it's kind of off of their shoulders and they can move into the next day, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm grateful. This has been a really good conversation. But before we end, I do have one, I call it the staple question. And so something, again, that I really admire is you care about the person. And this has probably been the most open conversation where you've consistently like given praise to professionals, professional drivers, to leadership, to people. So I really value that because it's a big part of my mission. Like I call it my heart's cry, where I'm like, I really want people to start seeing the good in other people in our industry. So yeah. You're rocking that space. So when you think about professional drivers, and your list could be really long, which I think is awesome, but what would you say you appreciate most about what they do as people, the impact they have, obviously in our industry, but also in society?
Man, you know, I think the great thing about drivers is from anything from them driving down the street to a little kid, like doing this, and they honk the horn for them. Like I actually have pictures of my drivers. One of my drivers, his little nieces and nephews go to school, and he actually took the semi and he asked me, he's like, is it okay if I take the truck to their school? And I'm like, yes, you can. And he took pictures of these little kids getting into the truck and sitting in the front seat and like holding onto the steering wheel. And pretending they were driving. And he was like, don't worry, it wasn't running. But I was like, no, no, it's fine. But just doing stuff like that where people are safer on the road. Now, little known fact about me is I actually came into this world because a semi jackknifed on my mom's car, and she went into labor and had me. And so I was brought into this world because of a semi truck having an accident. And one of the biggest things I think with that, when it comes to that, is to know that my guys are super safe. Like if somebody gets into an accident, I've had my drivers pull over to check on the people that had nothing to do with the accident, just to check. And I've had drivers that have, you know, pulled over to make sure a car is okay. I've had drivers that have called me to let me know, hey, something's going on. I just passed it, but maybe you can call and just make sure it's okay. Like just double check it, whatever. And my guys, I constantly get praise from customers, from shippers saying, hey, the shipper just called me and said that your guy was on site and he's one of the nicest guys they've ever met. My drivers will call me to see how I'm doing, to make sure that the week is okay. And aside from that, I mean, they come in and they always are dressed super nice. They look great. They're awesome, awesome attitudes. They're always happy. And a lot of my guys, I've been so lucky to be able to have them on my team, because genuinely, they're some of the best drivers and the best men I know, and women. I actually have a few of women on my team as well. And just to be able to talk to them and to have that, the relationship with them, and to see like how they treat people, how they deal with situations, how they've dealt with accidents, how they've dealt with shifted loads or even damaged goods. And like the people are like, oh, like, yeah, it was a little bit damaged, but like, he was awesome about it. We, you know, did everything and figured it all out. And, you know, nobody was upset. Nobody was mad. My guys can sit on site for a day. They're not going to treat anybody any worse. Yes, we're going to figure it out and get them reimbursed for it, but they're not angry about it like a lot of drivers are nowadays, where if their wheels aren't turning, they get super like aggressive and mean about it and blamey. And it's nobody's fault that's there. You know, that's the thing. And I think I've been really lucky with my guys, because I do hear that feedback and I know that my guys are safe and I know that my guys are professional even when nobody's looking. And that is huge, huge. And, you know, we have that reputation at Bowline where I do believe if there has, you know, and don't get me wrong, obviously those bad seats always come in, like it has happened. But people tell us, because they're like, hey, this isn't like your typical guy, like just want you to know what's happening. And then we deal with it. And that's okay. Like, I mean, it always does. It always will happen. But the fact that we're known for being better than that, it really makes me proud. And it makes me really know that we do have the right fleet right now. Like our drivers are a great group of people and the people that I want by my side, like in this, you know? So I hope that answers that a little.
Oh yeah. It's phenomenal.
My guys are awesome. Even when they moved to the heavy haul side, like Sven, because you just did a thing with Sven. And it was funny because he was on my step deck fleet and he moved to heavy haul. And I was so sad to see him go because, like, you know, there are kids, they're not supposed to be favorites, but like I do have favorites and he was one of my favorites. And he still calls me just to be like, hey, Cindy, how's step deck going? Hey, Cindy, like, you know, how's the day going? Your week's going okay? Maybe I'll get to see y'all. I'm going to come by the office. Are you going to be there? Like, he'll still do that even though it's not my fleet anymore. But that's the caliber of guy that we have, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Yeah. Huge shout out to Sven. Such a good guy.
Just, that's a huge shout out to Sven.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. When he gave the breakdown on how to operate safely while communicating with customers, but also providing that customer, I was like, dude. Man, like I just get so stoked. So, but yeah, he's just such a good guy. And yeah, I'm just, but yeah, you definitely answered the question. And this whole conversation, like, I literally am dizzy. Like, I just like, yeah, keep going, run with this. So just, I'm just so grateful. Like, there's a couple times where I like, okay, I'm not even going to talk because I'm just like in awe. So I just appreciate it. Like I said, I really value people that can really get passionate in their space. And I think it does speak volumes to you as a professional. But again, it speaks volumes to Tyler, to Miles, to Bowline as an organization to say, you know what? We want our people to feel like they can thrive and we're going to support that. So again, Cindy, I'm just super grateful that you took the time. I know it's, your world is so busy, but it's just awesome to have you on the podcast. So thank you so much again. This is honestly, this has been awesome.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. It's been such a great, great little interview for me too. I've been super happy about it. I've been looking forward to it.
Good. No, good. I'm glad. That's really important. So I just, again, thank you so much. Definitely keep up the great leadership. Like our industry needs it. And I know your team really appreciates it. So thank you so much again.
So much. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Okay. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Bye. Cindy, honestly, thank you so much for taking the time, joining me on the Truck Focus podcast, but also for sharing your journey with us. I'm honestly super encouraged just by the impact that you're having as you truly care about your people and for the success of your organization at Bowline, as well as your customers. So when I think about what it takes to influence as a leader, I strongly believe in relational leadership, and you did a wonderful job showcasing just how effective you are leading this way as well. So during our conversation, it was awesome to hear Cindy share a handful of qualities that Bowline Logistics provides, from an excellent owner and leader in Tyler to being given the freedom to really grow as a professional and positively impact her team and the customer base. So if you're looking for a carrier to handle your heavy loads or flat deck loads, then I highly recommend learning more about Bowline Logistics by visiting bowlinelogistics.com to see the services they offer. Again, their link is directly in the show notes. And before we end today, I just wanted to say again, thank you so much. So if this is the first time that you have checked out the Truck Focus podcast, I really do welcome you to our community. And I hope that you got a lot of value from today's conversation, as well as to our dedicated listeners. Thank you so much for your continued investment of time. Just highly recommend that you continue to create a pivotal impact in your day-to-day interactions and really just take on some of the guidance that Cindy provided as a relational leader. I think it's super powerful. So again, thank you so much, Cindy, for taking the time. Congrats, Bowline, for having such a great team. And just, yeah, keep up the great work. So as always, let's create a pivotal impact.